I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a five-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. I'm starting off this brand new decade by teaming up with Fitbit. What are my plans for the new year? Well, to lean towards joy, to continue on my path of self-discovery, and to set myself new challenges. Over the last few years, I've really surprised myself. Often, it's only when we're tested that we are awakened to our true potential. With Fitbit by my side, I stay focused on my health fitness journey and motivated to go after my goals. And I can't wait to see what 2020 has in store. This week on the Good Glow podcast, I speak to Irish actress and wellness advocate Lee Arnold. Lee spends most of the year in Ibiza, where her and her husband Steve run wellness retreats. They decided to set up their business after losing their son Flynn shortly after he was born. Lee says she turned to nature and wellness after this devastating time in her life. She meditates, practices yoga, and speaks to me about her inner peace and spending quality time as a family. I was so thrilled and thankful to Lee for taking the time out to speak to me on the Good Glow. Lee Arnold, welcome to the Good Glow podcast.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
It's we bumped exciting. Into each other in Kira Lambert's getting our hair done, and obviously I've been following you on Instagram and following your journey and everything you've been doing over the last while, and I just find it so fascinating. So thank you so much for taking the time to come in and sit down with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm in a very happy place being here with you now, Georgie. Thank
you. Well, you're absolutely glowing. You've just had Honey. Yes. She's 10 weeks old. You're still feeding at nighttime and still in that baby bubble. How are things going?
Everything's great. I'm tired. I'm getting on average about 4.5 hours sleep a night. But you know, it's worth it. I thought to myself, with two other children going again, Honey was a little surprise. She was a little surprised. Wasn't expecting Honey, but Honey landed just in time for my 40th birthday. So, you know, when I was planning this, you know, we're going to have this, you know, crazy rave in the mountains in Ibiza, and it's going to be like 200 people there. Well, no, I was sitting in Hollis Street nursing my newborn baby, which was the best gift I could ever have been given. And I couldn't think of anywhere else I'd rather be. And she's divine and it's great. It's just obviously being that little bit older, I'm a little bit more tired. But
well, you definitely don't look 40. You're absolutely glowing. I did not look like you after I had Pia. But you came home to Ireland from Ibiza to have Honey. So you've been here for 3 months now, is it?
We got back in about September. I mean, what we tend to do is we tend to leave Ibiza in the summertime anyway, because it's a very different vibe. For those of you who know Ibiza, there's very much two different scenes to it. And I think a lot of the time when I say to people that I'm living in Ibiza, the first thing they say is, ooh, party girl, which, I mean, I don't mind. It's, you know, I'm happy for them to think that way. But the reality is very, very different. We live a very holistic, organic, very open, both mentally, spiritually and physically lifestyle. The kids are outdoors all the time. We try to eat healthily. The lifestyle just allows us to be much more outdoorsy. And so when June happens, suddenly that lovely, quiet, organic-y place becomes, you know, quite a different place. So it was brilliant. It's great fun. Don't get me wrong. I love to stay around for a bit of it, but it gets too much for 2 or 3 months. So we tend to clear out anyway. So we were coming back for the summer and I wanted to be close to my mum. And I just said, you know what? I've had all my children here. It's such a wonderful place to give birth. I feel safe here. And I got all my friends here still. So it was wonderful. But we're going back.
So what took you to Ibiza then? What made you get to the point where you decided to go for it over there?
A number of different factors. We'd been going there for a few years, my husband and I, since we got together. He used to go there, you know, in the 90s when it was kind of party place. But then we had a lot of friends who moved there and would tell us about other elements of it. So we started going out for holidays and then the holidays would just get a little bit longer. And at the time I had had Hunter and I wasn't really acting so much. So I had that little bit more time. And then my sister moved out there. So again, day and we spent more time. So it just started organically happening. And then I think probably when we lost our son, that was the big, you know, that was the clincher for me, because I just decided, you know what, life is too short. Never going to get an opportunity like this where our child is so little and, you know, he's not necessarily in a system yet. So I kind of wanted to go to a place where I knew a lot of people there had not necessarily gone through what I'd gone through, but had gone through life-changing events, a lot of people, and had found that there was a community there of people, excuse me, who were somewhat like-minded. And there was a I suppose, a non-medical process to dealing with things psychologically, if that makes sense. And I started slowly dipping into things like Reiki or, you know, various different methods of just gentle self-help and self-care. You know, I didn't go into things full blast. And then I would meet other people. And it just organically happened. And then we found a lovely play school for Hunter. And we just felt it became home very quickly.
When you lost Flynn, like, you were obviously in the public eye. There was a lot of media. You're in the newspapers all the time. And I remember you spoke to Ryan Tuberty on The Late Late Show, and you spoke about feeling very numb. And a friend said, you will hear the birds singing one day again. And that, to me, really touched me, especially since what I've been through with the breast cancer. And I'm not comparing it in any way, but that feeling of your whole life, nothing will ever be the same again, and you'll never smile the same way, or you'll never laugh the same way. Like, I really understood what you meant when you said that.
I think, you know, I mean, Georgie, with all due respect, what you went through, you know, that's mind blowing. And look at you now. You're an inspiration to so many. And, you know, I think everything is relative. And what I meant by that, which you're obviously resonating with, is because of the pure shock, everything collapses. Your system breaks down in such a way that you're numb. You're numb to any other emotion other than pure shock and grief. And so the simple things like nature or appreciating what is around us, our surroundings, that we take so often for granted, you literally blank out completely. And when you start to come to terms with things, and when you start to gently be kind to yourself and start to take care of yourself, you start to notice little things like the rain outside or the wind. I remember going for a walk with Hunter. I mean, Hunter was only a year old when it all happened. And just experiencing, it was a freezing day, and experiencing that chill or that wind on our cheeks, and feeling alive and feeling grateful that we're in this world and that there's so much to be grateful for. That, you know, he would be pointing up at the snow, the icicles, or a birdie or whatever. And I just thought, you know what, I know what has happened has and will change me forever. But the good thing that I can take out of it is to appreciate every single moment, to appreciate the fact that right now I'm looking at my year and a half old son. I wish my baby was with me, but he's here with me and I could feel him around me. You know, you start to be more conscious and more aware of I suppose, I didn't want to just think, oh, well, he's, you know, he's passed away, he's dead, and that's it. And I was not going to accept that. For me, no, that doesn't happen. That's not right. And little things would happen, little strange things would happen that would make me conscious that there has to be more. Not in a religious way, but just in a, there has to be more to us. Mm-hmm. People survive things. Look at you. People get through things, and you have to listen to the support of the world and nature, and just everything that you got, be grateful for. And gratitude became a massive thing in my life from that moment on.
Did it help to talk about Flynn? Because somebody who's very close to me lost a child, and I think if sometimes you wonder if you should bring it up because you don't want to upset that person, but the person wants to talk about their child and it's a part of their life, and I think it helps to talk, or does it?
It's a funny thing, you know. I've experienced, I was home talking to my mum about it the other day. I've been writing a book for the past year. It's finished now, but writing that book, there I came to terms with a lot of things because you really think about everything in great detail. And one of the things that I remembered was when it happened, how often people would kind of cross the road, you know, to avoid talking to me. And at the time, being very, very hurt by it. But looking back on it, I totally understand why, because people don't know what to say. And if I was speaking to someone and I would talk about Flynn openly, you know, people would kind of, they wouldn't know what to do. They'd look the other way, or their eyes would dart around the place. And I remember my husband at the time saying, Lee, would you stop? You know, stop talking about him. People don't want to hear about it. And I was like, Adam, absolutely, why should I stop talking about him? I have another child. And I, you know, why should we not recognize him? And Steve being very, very uncomfortable with it, but I was determined to keep talking about him. And I don't look at people's not wanting to talk about it as uncomfortable. That's their right. And I don't push it, and I respect that. But at the same time, I think for people like me and so many other men and women who've lost children, and we often forget about the men here, you know, who go through an awful lot, it's that they need to be able to mention their name, that it's important to mention their name. My mum was actually just coming out of a shop on Grafton Street last week, and she was doing some Christmas shopping for the grandkids, and someone said, how many grandchildren do you have? And she so desperately wanted to say 6 grandchildren, but she ended up saying 4. And she said, Lee, I felt so guilty. I should have said 6, but I didn't want to say. Well, so she said, well, I should have 6, but I actually have 4. And that person getting really uncomfortable and mum not knowing how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So it's not just us, the parents. It's the grandparents. It's the aunties and uncles. You know, everyone wants to recognise that child. Mm. But it's a universal situation, really.
But I think the fact that you've spoken so openly and honestly about it will just help so many people, and has helped so many people.
So.
You talk about nature, and when I was going through chemo, I had how old was P when I was in chemo? Just under 1.
Shame.
But so I would have to get out every day and bring her for a walk because I couldn't lie at home watching Netflix, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
But I'd wake up every day and I'd feel that heaviness, and I'd go meet my mum or whoever was around and go for a walk, and I'd come home and I'd feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just something about getting outside that, and I never noticed that before in my life until I was on my knees and I needed it. But ever since then, immersing myself in nature is such an important part of my life, and it clearly is for you too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that it's funny because it's not like I'm going out. I mean, you're running marathons and stuff. I'm going to do one next year. I promise, I will. But at the moment, no. For me, I can't have the energy for that. But it's a simple thing like a walk, the beach. You know, I find the beach, I find the water, being close to the water. Do you feel that when you're next to the water, it's almost like as if you're touching something. It's so much bigger than you. It's so much greater than you, and that you are so. It's that touch between, you know, what's present and not present, but yet we can touch it and we have the right to touch it, but don't go too far. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, you know, and I just find nature and the kids being around it all the time so uplifting, so positive. And it's been incredible for my children. You have to remember that even though Hunter was only a baby when it happened, it's had a massive effect on him as well, because even though he was little and he wouldn't have understood it at the time, he's grown seeing at times our sadness or, you know, and as he's got older, he kind of questions, well, shouldn't I have a brother? And only the other day he got upset because he said, well, Mummy, if Flynn was alive, would we share the same bedroom? And you know, now he's got two sisters and he often thinks, oh, I'd love a brother. And he any time we're talking, oh, well, I have two sisters, but I also have a brother. And he's absolutely adamant he will not forget that. But for him, being around, you know, near the beach, near caves, you know, climbing trees, it's almost like as if he gets to kind of play with his brother inside his mind in the open air. So it's been massively important to us in that respect, that we've just been sort of allowed heal through nature, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And you have wellness retreats in Ibiza. Is that right?
So Steve and I have set up a business where we call it the Transformation Station. And what happens is it's a place where people feel that there's something massively missing in their life and they can't quite put their finger on what it is. And often it is a tragedy or something that happened to them in childhood or something that happened to them. Maybe they experienced a miscarriage. Maybe they went through a situation where a girlfriend had an abortion. Various different things to do with loss or things that happened that maybe they didn't think were big things at the time, but have had a profound effect on their life going forward. Mm-hmm. And a lot of men don't really seek out the help at the time that maybe they should do. And Steve, who is a man who has gone through loss, has very much made this business where, well, we both have, but I suppose it would really be him at the moment because I'm minding the children, where the people will come to us and through somatic therapy, through breath work, it's very, very intense. Most retreats, I suppose you would just go and have a, you know, you do your yoga and you do your healthy eating and then, you know, kind of lie by the pool and they're fantastic for what you need. But this would be very intense. They're more like workshop related, where people kind of come out and they feel that they've reached, they've come to terms with a situation or an event in their life that has caused something to block and stop. And that takes multiple intense workshops over a period of a few days. And people come out feeling, I suppose, like a case of their higher self.
Wow. You know, you must have such a connection with these people then, do you?
You can't let go. It's funny because we have a lot of WhatsApp groups that happen afterwards and you kind of have this bond and you kind of sort of saying, Steve, you experience something so much with these people, but they keep wanting to come back and there's a friendship, there's a deep connection and you don't want to let that go.
That's incredible.
You know, because it's a support group. Mm-hmm. It's a support group that we have for people afterwards.
And do people come alone or do they come in couples? Or
absolutely both. A lot of the time people come alone, but a lot of the time people want to deal with these things privately. As much as people say, oh, I'd like to come with my husband, my wife, my partner, you know, my business partner, anything, sometimes they feel a little inhibited to really let go. And often you can let go so much more when you're surrounded by strangers. But then again, we have had couples who've been going through situations in their relationships that have been blocked, that have really let go. And I mean, we've had situations where people have talked about, you know, being abused that they've never told their wife before and it's coming out in that sort of situation. But it's a really safe space. It's a really safe space. And we have incredible professionals who are world-renowned therapists who are working with these people who actually helped us. Mm-hmm. So we've been working with a couple, Taya and Till, who are somatic therapists and who have gone around the world. And somatic therapy would be sort of how we hold our pain inside our body. So we will walk in a certain way because that's where we hold our pain and our anguish. And it's to when we talk about these things and you manipulate your body physically through breath work and through touch and how you can release this aching.
Yeah.
You know,
and often like Miriam Hussey speaks about this, that dis-ease can often turn into disease. But the thing about it is, I just think it's so hard for people who are holding that pain. And I did with my cancer for a long time before I went to counselling. It's the thoughts of it getting worse before it gets better that I think a lot of people are just reluctant to go there, to even acknowledge how they're feeling inside, because it feels like a mountain they have to climb.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And I'm not sitting here and saying it's easy, because it's not. And but everyone has that bravery inside them. Everyone does. And it's just a case of saying, I need for me to go there in order to get better. Mm. I know it's gonna hurt like hell. I'm gonna talk about something that I've been burying so far that I'm afraid everything's gonna ripple, everything's gonna fall apart. The situation it couldn't be more different. Once you open that Pandora's box, you're gonna be helping yourself in so many ways. That pain that you're holding inside physically will start to ease. You can breathe better. You can breathe better. You can scream. And the thing about it is, whether it's, you know, doing workshops like we have, or just seeing someone, you know, locally in the community in Dublin, there are so many wellness retreats locally. There are so many workshops locally. And I think in Ireland, we become a lot better at being open. Mm. I mean, a lot better about having safe spaces for people to feel that. And for me, one of the things that I love to do, you know, whenever it hurts, I love to just kind of go out, you know, for a walk on my own and just can scream.
Really?
Just scream. And I don't care, you know, because I can scream as loud as I want. I don't care who hears me. But just to let that animal sound roar, it just literally, it just feels heavenly afterwards, to let go of that thing. And I think people need to do it more, but everything would be better.
And do you, like, are your guests leaving and they're almost lighter? Like, are they like, thank you, oh my God, that was everything
very,
I needed.
Very, very emotional, very shook up. But we tend to finish the workshops and we don't just sort of say, okay, there you go, you let that, bye now, out the door, see you later, good luck with your life. There's absolutely a situation where, you know, you need a few days to reflect after what you've been. So there's aftercare, which is absolutely paramount. And I think also just being gentle to yourself, you know, to go and have that massage, to go and have that facial, to go and have that walk and do those things that you don't usually do. And there's a lightness to your body suddenly, that pain is not trapped there anymore. And yeah, so basically that's what we're doing.
Wow, it's fascinating. I can talk to you about it all day. So how long do these retreats usually go on for?
3 to 5 days.
Okay.
You know, 3 to 5 days. You're going to have to come out.
Oh my God, then you know all my problems.
Don't worry, I'll leave you to the experts. I'll make you nice food and make you feel beautiful afterwards.
Yeah, I would absolutely.
I'll give you a nice glass of wine afterwards.
I'll get back to that conversation in just a minute. By being on Fitbit, it allows you to get to know yourself better, to understand your health with data and insights that are unique to you. As I always say, knowledge is power, and Fitbit provides data about your health and well-being to help empower and support you in leading a balanced and healthy lifestyle. I love being able to track my sleep, keep an eye on my resting heart rate over time, as well as capture key stats from my workouts. I'm so happy to have Fitbit on board, as it helps keep me focused and on track with my goals and training. Now, back to the conversation.
So what self-care or wellness techniques do you turn to in times of, I suppose, struggle?
I meditate.
Okay.
I find meditation has been hugely beneficial to me. I should be better and more disciplined with it. I do try to do it every morning and every evening, but since having the baby, it's quite difficult to get that time in. I used to dedicate, before the kids would wake up, that I would wake up, set the alarm clock, and I just go and have that time for 40 minutes, you know, just to kind of become aware of my breath and become aware of the day. And I have found that when you meditate with intention, and my intention has always been gratitude, if I start the day being grateful for absolutely everything that I have, my day is going to be better. And and Steve and I try to do it together now, where this sounds really hippie and nerdy, and I'm really sorry about this, but a lot of the time when we meditate together, we'll hold hands.
So nice.
And we'll hold hands, and you know, kind of like rubbing fingers and stuff like this in a guided meditation. A lot of the time it's guided, because honestly sometimes you need a bit of help. But when we are grateful for what we have, and maybe the baby's next to us, the day is just brilliant.
Wow.
Things just happen.
What do you mean by like you practice gratitude? Are you in your mind going, I'm thankful for Steve, I'm thankful for Honey?
Absolutely.
So that's the way you do it?
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many things, you know, there's lots of stresses in our lives, you know, we've all got, as anyone does, have as situations that are stressful situations. But I have found that by practicing gratitude, business has become better. Our relationship has become better. Our relationship with our children and our friends and our family has become better. It's just, we seem to communicate on a calmer level. Hmm. You know, you're starting the day that way. Things aren't so pent up. Things aren't so wound up. You don't seem to, and I'm a very feisty person. Usually if things piss me off, I snap. Mm-hmm. Easily. I mean, you know, but I can react. I'm a real reactor to situations, and that gets you nowhere. You know, that gets me nowhere. And it has a massive effect on everyone else. And I think vice versa, Steve would be quite the same. And we've just found that by doing that, for us and our self-care, it's been great. Actually, Steve will do a meditation and then he'll go and, you know, go for the ice cold freezing bath, the Wim Hof. He's big into the Wim Hof.
Really, yeah.
He's literally obsessed with the Wim Hof. Trying to get me to do that. No, thank you. I'm not that brave. No. But yeah, that would be really it.
I mean, my Jamie's quite into Wim Hof as well. And he started sea swimming this year with a friend. And like, it's something that I will do. I never got into the sea before I got sick. And when I just finished chemo, I was in Portugal and I took off my wig and I jumped into the sea. And I felt the benefits of that for months afterwards.
Yeah.
So to have the courage to go down to Killiney and get into the sea, like, I would love that, but I just...
It's cold, man.
Yeah.
And Steve's doing it all the time and he's doing it down in Sandy Cove.
Right.
And he's jumping in. I'm sure he's probably seen your Jamie down there. But I mean, the people that are down there, he's got a great community of friends down there from all backgrounds, all ages, and they feel invigorated. They feel alive. Their bodies are feeling the benefits in so many ways, health wise, the mentally, everything. Steve has had massive benefits from doing it. He's been doing it for about a year and a half now. So
does he physically feel so much better when he gets out?
He tends to say that if he hasn't done the meditation and the Wim Hof and the swimming in the freezing sea, or if he's not near the sea into an ice shower, an ice bucket, he can't function on the same level for the day.
Wow.
It's become such a ritual for him. And he always feels like buzzed, you know, ready for the day, ready to take on the challenges. He's a lot more disciplined than I am.
Yeah. I'm the same. I think what you were saying about starting the day off meditating with your husband, like, must give you this kind of connection. Mm. Like, it's hard, isn't it, to stay connected to your husband?
Oh.
You know, we just got a dog. We have a 2-year-old. I mean, we're just co-workers. It's very hard to stay connected and
to keep the romance. Yeah. It's very difficult in a marriage. I mean, honestly, it's, you know, it's like having children is the greatest contraceptive on earth. You know, it really is. And then you have one, you know, the odd time you do get together, boom, there you go, another one. but you know, I'm so grateful for the fact that I have these children, that you feel bad, but romance absolutely does take a backbone. But we try to do things like, I mean, we've had this conversation where it's not necessarily about the physical act. It's just about spending time together, like with your friend, you know, where you're not being parents, where you're actually being boyfriend, girlfriend, husband and wife. And so let's go on a date. Let's put our phones away. Let's not talk about the children and let's just chat. And that's really sometimes, you know, weird, because you're kind of, oh, nice to meet you again.
Yeah, oh, hi, this is kind of awkward.
Yeah, sometimes. But I think you've got to make that. My parents used to, every Friday night, they used to have like an Indian night, and that was their thing.
Really?
For like 40 years, every Friday, they would just go for an Indian. And it was like, they don't talk about the kids. That was their thing.
Mm.
And look, you know, apparently it's a good idea. So
yeah, because myself and Jamie last week, we were like, let's go out and have dinner together, just the two of us, because we always go out with friends.
Yeah.
And so I was like, let's just go local. Like, it was really stormy. And Jamie was like, no, come on, I really want to go into town. I really want to go to this restaurant in town. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. But we went in and we had a great night. And it was only for 3.5 hours. Mm. But it was just really nice. Mm. It's just so important to do those things together.
Well, it's nice. It's nice if you know, it's nice to see that you still get on, because that's the thing, isn't it? When you have children, the marriage takes a back burner. And then when you actually get out together, a lot of the time people don't have that much in common anymore. You know, what attracted you to that person in the first place? You become sort of partners in a, you know, two CEOs and an MD of your own business. And that is the family. You know, and it can be really, really stressful. We travel an awful lot with the children as well. You know, even the fact that losing a child is they say, I mean, the majority of people who've gone through losses, I mean, I don't know the percentage, but a very high percentage of people do tend to, you know, break up. Mm. Because people deal with things very, very differently. And there's blame and there's guilt and there's various different factors. And absolutely, our marriage took an absolute skydive after losing Flynn. I mean, I'm often, that's another thing I practice, is gratitude that we're still together.
Yeah.
It took work. It took a lot of
commitment.
It took a lot of commitment. I mean, there were times where I thought we did. I mean, to be honest with you, I think we did actually sit down and have that conversation. I think, you know, we should go our separate ways. And when it actually came down to doing it, we couldn't actually do it. But there was a time where we were so distant from each other. Mm. And we had to both work on ourselves individually and then as a couple. But it's still a work in progress, and you can't stop. And that doesn't just take going through, you know, for example, what you've been through. I don't know whether that's made you closer as a couple, or was there a distance there?
It's definitely made us closer, but also has been very difficult on our relationship. You know, and I don't really talk about that too much, but it's the truth. And I had to go to get counseling because I think I was taking a lot of my sadness out on Jamie, because he was closest to me. But, you know, and we still go through really tough times. We're still not out of it. But like you said, in that conversation where you sit down and you're like, well, actually, when it comes down to it, we can't be without each other. And to acknowledge, I suppose, that it is just a difficult time, and hopefully you will come back together.
There's no failure.
Yeah.
No one has failed at anything if people don't survive as a couple, as long as they can, you know, separate in a way that is not that is amicable.
Yeah.
And is friendly and is kind. You know, you've gone through a journey together, and that can never, you know, that can never be disregarded. And I think you will always continue to have that connection. And even if couples separate because of going through traumas, whatever they may be, you will always have a connection to that person, because that person went through that with you.
Yeah.
And never to, you know, obviously there's going to be hard times, but try and focus on the positive as well when you look at that person, especially if there's children involved.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's amazing to see you guys now, and you seem just so complete with Honey, and you're going back to Ibiza soon, and that's where you call home now.
I think so. I mean, no, Ireland will always, always, always be home. That's, you know, where my heart is, where my soul is. But for me, at the moment in our lives, it's a place where we find, I suppose, opportunity. I suppose, and not just in business, but for me, through writing, for so many opportunities with wellness and opportunities with our children to develop into that world, and also to develop, you know, more organically, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. As much as I love Dublin, there's something I just find, it's probably to do with the weather, but you're indoors an awful lot and the kids kind of watch the TV a lot and there's kind of, you know, you find it difficult to get out there. So in that respect, I'm grateful. But at the same time, I acknowledge that I'm lucky.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying, you know, because I'm lucky enough that I don't have a 9-to-5 job, nor does Steve. So we've made that happen. But at the same time, you know, it wasn't easy. Financially, we took a bollocking because, you know, he left a corporate career to go out there. It's not been easy. It's still hard work, but the rewards are better than,
yeah,
than the next.
You're on this,
you know,
path of like self-care and wellness, which is just it. I feel like I got to give up my job in radio in June and immerse myself more into wellness, and it's been such a gift to myself that I've given to myself to wake up every day and to exercise and to go outdoors and do those things for yourself. And were you always like that?
Never.
Really?
Never. I was always a city girl, you know, lived in New York, lived in London. I couldn't think of anything worse than standing on top of a mountain and doing yoga and Pilates.
Yeah.
Who are these weird hippies playing bongos and, you know, but now it's part of my life and it's been the most amazing journey, you know. But no, Lee at 21 would not be happy with looking at this image of her at 40 for sure. There's no way. I thought I'd be living, you know, hotshot life in New York City in a penthouse pad, you know. But
it's amazing though when you like, I suppose, connect with yourself and learn more about yourself, you realize what's important.
And
just happiness is everything. Talk to me about like the power of human connection, because you're I sometimes hide away in my house, but when I see you, and obviously Instagram, it's not like 100% real, but you always seem to be like with people. And
yeah, I think it's funny, as I'm sure you know, when you go through things, you very quickly determine it's not who's important and who's not important, because that's not fair, but you very quickly determine the people who are there instantly for you and don't shy away become really your group, your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very lucky. As you being in the media as well, there's a lot of people that kind of are not friends, but they're friends of friends. And, you know, it's kind of this vacuous somewhat world. And I just didn't want to be part of that anymore. I really wanted to know who was real and who wasn't real and who really cared and who didn't really care. And I'm fine with that. If you don't care, it's not like I'm, oh, you don't love me. Oh, yeah. Let's cut the bullshit. You know, we're mates or we're not mates, and that's fine. But I am so lucky that the friends that I have are lifelong and they don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't give a shit if you're having a bad day or a good day, or, you know, if you're acting still or you're not acting still, or they don't judge you on anything. So I have a handful, to be honest with you, I say a handful of great girlfriends, both here in Ireland and in Ibiza. The friends that I've made in Ibiza, I've met, as so many mums and dads have, through the kids and through the school. But a lot of the time, you see me up photos of friends, like there's like usually, you know, a baby underneath my feet.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
kids running
around. There's gangs.
There's my social life is really, you know, afternoon and then that's it. I'm bed by 9, you know.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I meant. But and then when you're writing your book, do you have a ritual around that, or do you kind of just whenever you get the time?
No, I did. I spent all last year writing it, and I would drop the kids to school in the morning and I would literally sit down from 9:30 until 2:30 every day, like break for pee, that's it, and just keep going. What I found was I actually ended up writing by hand, because I'm a terrible typist. I'm like, when I was in school, I sound like I'm so ancient right now, but like it wasn't, you wrote, you know, you didn't really use the typewriter, the iPads or computers or anything. So my typing skills are awful. So it took much longer than normal because I would be writing by hand what's going on in my thoughts. And then I started using a dictaphone because my mind couldn't keep up with my hand.
Yeah.
And then I'd have a thought and I'd still be writing the last thought, and then I'd be trying to write the current thought, and then they'd be gone. And mm-hmm. of course, you know, I didn't realize that I was so forgetful because I didn't realize I was pregnant. Because when I started writing the book and started really coming to terms and acknowledging what had happened, you know, with Flynn, with my marriage surrounding it, and et cetera, et cetera, it's like this wound started to heal. And with that, little surprise honey
wow.
decided to come about.
I love her name. Did you have it picked out?
No, it was Steve.
Was it?
It was Steve. I had a list of names and we just couldn't agree. We couldn't agree on anything, you know, and I had maybe 25 names, but this would be really nice with this. And he'd be like, Lee, it's just horrible. It's not right. And here's me thinking, you know, F you, you know, it's my baby. You're like just the man. Like, I'm the mom. It's my decision. You know? But actually, you know, come down, he actually came up with a really funky name. We were in a lift. I was literally about to give birth any day. He wasn't around, by the way, when I went into labor. He wasn't there for the birth.
Oh,
completely
God.
Missed the whole thing. Yeah, that's a whole different story. But he just said something to Piper. He goes, honey, don't do that. And I went, yeah, honey, don't do that. And he just looked at me and he just went, honey. And I went, yeah. And he goes, no, honey. Honey, yeah, that's her name. I said, Steve, you can't call a child honey. That's what you call like a term of endearment. He goes, no, honey would be awesome. Honey, Beatrix. Honey, Beatrix.
Oh, wow.
And I literally started crying. I went, that's the coolest name I've ever heard. And when she came out, she literally had a mate, like loads of hair, but it was honeycomb.
I know, isn't that crazy?
It's like a honeycomb, and it's still like a honeycomb on her head.
She's so beautiful.
She's a cutie.
Oh, Lee, I'm so happy for you. I can't wait to read your book.
Thank you. I can't wait
to come and see you in Ibiza, please God, with all my problems.
No, please come take Jamie and Pia and bring the dog as well. You know, love dogs there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Like, this podcast is very special. Thank you.
Oh, babe, thank you very much. Yay!
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast with thanks to Fitbit. If you're enjoying this podcast, please hit the subscribe button and leave a review. For more on my story, you can follow me on Instagram at georgie.crawford.